It's Monday night. More preachers resign on Monday than any other time. I'm reminded of my youngest son who came with his mother to hear me preach. And he said, "Mama, why does Daddy always bow his head before he preaches?" And she said, "Well, he's asking God to help him." And he said, "Well, what else?" I feel that way sometimes on Monday night. We're happy you're here. God bless you. We're thinking this evening about two great prophets. In the Old Testament, you'll find the story in 2 Kings, the second chapter. Elijah and Elisha. We might say that Elijah was the type of God, a leader. Elisha, the type of a Christian, a servant, a father. You know, sometimes it's more difficult to be a leader than it is to be a father. And then other times it's more difficult to be a follower than it is to be a leader. And I believe in the case of these two great men of God, it was more difficult for Elisha, the follower, than it was Elijah, the leader. Because certain things had to be transpired in the life of Elisha before he was to receive the mantle of Elijah, or even the double portion of the Spirit of God. And so it's true within your life, and it's true within my life. There are certain things that have to come to pass. Amen. Before we are to receive maybe a victory or a blessing that'll come from the Lord. Sometimes we have to face trials and temptations. Other times we have to face afflictions and infirmities. Other times we have to be persecuted, our tribulation faced, and we're molded in the sight of God. So Elijah said to Elisha, "Let us go down to Bethel." And Elisha answered him, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And the Bible said they went down to Bethel. You know, Bethel could represent two or three things tonight. It could represent a place of prayer or even a place of blessing. And we do know that Bethel could represent the place of salvation. And if you really want to be made happy in the Lord tonight, do a little reminiscing within your own mind. Go back to the place and the time when you found Christ as your personal Savior.
Amen.
Wherever it was, whether it be in the home, when the family altar was held and Dad led in prayer and a song was sung, you humbled your heart, gave your heart to Christ. It might have been on a Sunday morning when a tender-hearted pastor stood and preached the unsearchable riches of the grace of God. You humbled your heart, turned to God for salvation. It might have been in the field when someone led you, or in the home, or in the business. A personal worker led you to the Lord. It might have been in a revival meeting when a hellfire evangelist stood and preached the unsearchable riches of Christ. You gave your heart to the Lord. But wherever it was, you can rejoice in the Lord. Amen. You know, when I go back to the place and the time where I found Christ as my personal Savior, I always rejoice and I shout within, because it's a place where I had a blessing that day. I found Jesus Christ. But you know, beloved, there's a danger of worship being the place rather than the God of the place. I was converted to the First Baptist Church of Wolf City, Texas in 1939 in a revival meeting in the summer. And it just so happened, one day I went by Wolf City, and they were tearing the old church down, which I have a picture in a scrapbook, and I really like it, and I like the picture, and I love the place. And you know, for a moment while they were tearing that old church down, I grieved within my heart, and I said, you know, that's the place, that's the church where I was converted. And as I paused for a moment, God spoke to my heart. He said, "Dan, you're not worshiping the place. You're worshiping the God of the place."
Amen.
And so tonight, we worship the God of the place. And I told a young evangelist some time ago, live your experience every day and you'll never backslide. And if you feel and you have the tendency of becoming a backslider, think about your experience with Jesus Christ when you place your trust and faith in Him, and you can rejoice. And so they went down to Bethel. And then Elijah turned to Elisha and said, "Let us go down to Jericho." And Elisha said, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And the Bible said they went down to Jericho. You know, even as the Lord did liveth and as the Lord did reigneth in the day of Elijah and in the day of Elisha, the Lord reigneth even today.
Amen.
We're not serving a dead God. We're serving a living Redeemer. Amen. I want you to know, beloved, that God lives. And I tried to preach last night on the gospel of salvation. And I believe the Bible to be the infallible, the inspired word of God, that written by men of old and new that were led by the Spirit of the Lord, and they gave unto us the Holy Writ. And we have the same God today that Elijah and Elisha had. We have the same God today that the Apostle Paul and the beloved John had, and we have the same God yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
So they went down to Jericho. Now, if you read the history of Jericho, you'll find it was a very beautiful place. It was a very beautiful city, but it was a city filled with sin. And I believe that Elijah was going down there not to condemn the sinner, but to condemn the sin of the sinner. You know, the scripture said God committed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, and God sent not his son into the world to condemn sinners, but sinners in the world through him might be saved. And God does not condemn you tonight. God loves you, but I want you to know God condemns your sin, whether it be your sin or whether it be my sin, the sin of the heart, the sin of omission as well as commission, whatever sin it is. And we can name a lot of sins, whatever sin within your life, whatever sin within my life, God condemns that sin. God does not condone sin. He never has and he never will.
Amen.
And we should not compromise with sin. And I've never been the type to compromise with sin. When I was converted, my dad run a dance hall and a mixed swimming pool, we called it in those days. And there used to be preachers that would go there and dance and drink and everything else, but my dad never did have confidence in those preachers, and therefore they couldn't win into Christ. But when I got converted, the dance hall burned down and the swimming hole closed up, and my dad got saved. But if I'd have compromised, I'd have never won my dad or my mother to the Lord. And I want you to know tonight, we cannot win people by compromise. We cannot win people by condoning sin.
Amen.
Jericho, a very beautiful city, a place filled with sin, and Elijah going down there condemning the sin of the sinner, but loving the sinner. And I believe there was one Baptist preacher by the name of Elisha. Go to sleep under another Baptist preacher's preaching and wake up at the right time to say amen. Brother, he was holding up his hand while he preached. I'll tell you, it's wonderful to have preachers in the audience when you know they're praying for
them. Amen.
I had a fellow go to sleep under my preaching some time ago. And I told the fellow next time, I said, would you wake him up? He said, wake him up yourself. He was the one putting him to sleep. And I was preaching some time ago, and I had a fellow to look at his watch. You know, that didn't bother me much. You know, the old-time preachers, they didn't preach with a watch. They preached with a calendar. And this fellow got to looking at his watch. And after a while, he put it up to his ear to see if it's still running. You know, that bothered me a little bit. But when he shook it like that, it really did bother me. Someone said my preaching was soothing, moving, and satisfying. So soothing, half of them went to sleep. So moving, the other half walked out and so satisfied nobody come back. So it works that way sometimes. But I'll tell you, Elijah down at Jericho was preaching against sin, and Elisha was praying for it. And they went down to Jericho. You know, as we look around the city of San Antonio tonight, a wicked place, people's hearts filled with sin. And the only remedy, beloved, is regeneration.
Amen.
The power of God, the blood of Christ, washes away sin. And so they went down to Bethel. They went down to Jericho. And now Elijah said unto Elisha, let us go down to Jordan. And Elisha answered, as the Lord liveth and as I so liveth and he still liveth, we'll not leave you, we'll go with you down to Jordan. Now, Jordan can represent two things tonight. Jordan can represent death unto self and life unto God. Turn it around. Jordan can represent life unto the Lord and death unto self. You know, some historians said that Christ walked 40 miles to be baptized. You know, there are people probably around 5 blocks of this church tonight who wouldn't walk that far to be baptized. But I believe when a man or a woman, boy or girl receives Christ as their Savior, they ought to follow the Lord in scriptural baptism.
Amen.
Not that baptism saves, but baptism is an obedient act. It's obedience. It's not essential. Baptism is not essential to salvation, but it is essential to obedience. And a man is not baptized in order to be saved, in order to keep saved, but he is baptized because he is saved.
Amen.
And when the preacher baptizes, the one that believes, he says, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, because you have made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. Not in order to be saved or you baptized, but because you are saved. And you know, when I got converted, I didn't know what the ordinances of the church were. Baptism of the Lord's Supper. And I asked my pastor, I said, what should I do? He said, Dan, you should be baptized. I said, I'm ready. I believe any believer tonight will want to follow the Lord in scriptural baptism, and sometimes the first sermon you preach, beloved, is when you receive Christ as your personal Savior in your heart, and then you trouble the baptism waters. You're showing to the world the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Life unto God and death unto Seth. Death unto Seth and life unto God. Paul the Apostle, may I repeat Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and who gave himself for me. And so, these men of God, Elijah and Elisha, had gone down to Bethel, they had gone down to Jericho, they had gone down to Jordan, and now the time had arrived that Elijah was going to be taken into heaven, and he turned to Elisha and he said, I'm going to give you one desire of your own heart, I'm going to give you one request of your own mind and your own life. Anything that you want, I'm going to give it to you. I'd like to ask you a question tonight. If you had one desire of your heart and you knew God would give it to you, what would you ask? Some of us might ask for maybe 400 acres of land that had all wells on it, produce enough money that we wouldn't have to worry about anything. We might ask for the material. We might ask for something temporal. I don't think it'd be wrong if Elisha would have asked for that. He would have received it. But beloved, he put you and I to an open shame because he turned to Elijah and he said, I pray thee that a double portion of thy spirit would be upon me.
Amen.
I used to couldn't understand that verse. After he asked for the double portion of the Spirit of God, Elijah said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I'm taken away from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so unto thee. And I thought that Elijah put a condition on it. After he had promised Elisha anything that he so desired, and then Elisha asked for the double portion of the Spirit of God, and then Elijah answered in the verse in which I've read to you, I thought that Elijah was putting a condition on what he told me, but he wasn't. I was in the First Baptist Church of Rockport, Texas a few years ago, and a little Jew who was a preacher gave me the interpretation of this text because I had a doubt about what Elijah said. This little Jew and his wife were under the reign of Hitler in prison several months. During that time, Hitler destroyed more than 10 million Jews. In a miraculous way, the wife escaped and came to New York. Someone to attract letters. And then, miraculously, he escaped under the reign of Hitler, Nazis. And he came to New York, and his wife met him. And then she witnessed, she led her husband to Christ. And then he surrendered. He's still living, he's a preacher. And he came to me that night, and he said, Brother Vestal, if you would permit, I'd like to interpret that. And I replied, all right. He said, you know, when Elijah promised Elisha the double portion of the Spirit of God, or when he told him anything he wanted, he'd give it to him, and when Elisha had the double portion, he said, Brother Vestal, Elijah couldn't do that. He couldn't get in his mind. He couldn't get in the double portion. It had to be. And you know, my friend, it is God that performs miracles.
Amen.
You know, we've got a lot of preachers today that are racketeers, and they are professionals, and I don't have a bit against the word professional. That's someone that puts it over. But you'll see a lot of radio and television preachers that will say, well, now, if you'll just touch the radio or something like that, you can be healed. But you know what? It's God that does it. I had a miraculous experience of divine healing when I was a child, because when I was 7 months of age, I went on fire, received a bad burn on the left side of my face. And God healed me when everybody else gave me up, and everyone gave me up. But God miraculously healed me. But I didn't have nothing to do with it. It was God. And I believe there are men that are gifted to pray. And I believe there are men that have the faith in God that they can pray for the sick, and the sick will be healed. But beloved, the greatest healing is spiritual.
Amen.
And I have every right on earth to stand here tonight and say, I believe in divine healing physically because I've had an experience like that. But still, the greatest healing is spiritual healing. And sometimes we can let the flesh overcome the spiritual things within our life. And so it is God tonight that performs a miracle. It is God that heals the sick. It is God that, through the Holy Spirit, convicts man of sin. And it is God, through the blood of Jesus Christ, that washes man's sins away. It is God that keeps us from day to day and from time to time. And God is the one that performs the miracle. You know, I believe one great need of the church tonight, I believe one great need of my own heart, is the moving of God's Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
And I want you to know, my friend, that the Holy Spirit can do more in one moment's time in a revival meeting than what I can do in a lifetime.
Amen.
I was in the First Baptist Church of a little town in the state of Oklahoma, where Dr. W.A. Criswell, a great preacher, was born there physically. And the church was cold. I never shall forget the services that I had. It just seemed like we didn't have any time. Now, I'm not saying this, folks, but I made my way in the attic of the church every night before the service. And I spent from an hour to 3 hours in Bible study. And I felt one night after I preached, I couldn't go back without God, without believing. That night as I stood to preach, I didn't do much for God. During the invitation, the power of God began to move poor precious souls. And never shall forget an old deacon of that church. They called him Uncle Will. Shouted all over the place. Oh, my friend, today the Holy Spirit is meet within our life.
Amen.
And you know, we have access to the power of God. We have access to the Holy Spirit. We don't have to pray for the power of God to come down. He's here. All we have to do is open up our hearts and let Him come in and rule our life.
Amen.
Two of my favorite Americans is Abraham Lincoln and Thomas Edison. And I cannot prove whether either one of those men ever were saved. I noticed in your little open windows book, some time ago, said that Abraham Lincoln did receive Christ as his Savior, and they had his experience in that little book. But I cannot say that Thomas Edison was saved. Some said he might have been an infant. But you know, when the crash came back in 1929, Thomas Edison made a statement that I like. He said, America doesn't need to catch up physically or materially, but America needs to catch up spiritually. And I want you to know tonight, beloved, that America needs to catch up spiritually.
Amen.
And I believe one great need of our own heart, individually and personally, is the moving of the Spirit of God. So now the time had arrived that Elijah was going to be taken into heaven. An old Missouri preacher who's forgot more than I ever knew, he said all this happened in one day. And another preacher told me some time ago, said, you know, during that period of time, Elijah was trying to get away from Elisha, but he couldn't. You know, Elisha was following Elijah just like a little boy follows his dad, or a little girl follows her mother. He couldn't get away because Elisha wasn't going to miss the blessing.
Amen.
And everywhere that Elijah went that day, Elisha. And if you'll notice, there are two words there. It came to pass as they still went on and talked. I wonder what they talked about. Did they talk about sports? You know, someone told me some time ago, if Jesus were to come, they'd throw him a pass. I said, yeah, he'd catch and run for a touchdown, too. Brother, I'll tell you, we're sports crazy. I kind of like that little track you gave a while ago. I'm under conviction about that. Somebody asked me if I was for the Dallas Cowboys. I said, yeah, when they're winning. Did they talk about sports? Did they talk about sex? I remember when I was a boy, you know, all we talked about politics and weather. And now we talk about the two previous. They talked about the beloved. There is no substitute for brethren.
Amen.
During these last few hours, here in your city with these ministers and with others, I've had an enjoyment to my own heart and a thrill to my life as we have talked about the things of God. And Elijah and Elisha talked about the things of God, and now the time has arrived that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, and there appeared horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And the Bible said Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, and there stood Elisha receiving the mantle of Elijah, receiving the double portion of the Spirit of God. I have been privileged to know some of the greatest preachers in America. I've met them, and I wouldn't take for the memory the acquaintance of those men. One of those preachers, Brother Jim Truitt, the brother of the late Dr. George Smith, who was a very gentle and gracious. His last pastor, First Baptist Church, Marietta, Oklahoma. They called him for life because of health reasons. He moved to a little place in White Rock, Texas, where I was born and reared, 4 miles out in the country from White Rock. And Brother Jim Truitt lived in a little cottage upon the hillside of that little city. And I used to go up there, and I would sit under his chair. And while his brother was preaching to thousands in Dallas, his brother Jim Truitt was sitting there in a lonely room. He had me for an audience, much of it. And he said, don't leave. I just started. And his hair was white as silk. He was a gracious man. He told me one day, he said, you know, I get up before the world wakes up. And I walk over here to the window and I raise the shade. And I look to the east and I say, maybe this will look good. And he made his outlines on little envelopes. And he gave me hundreds. And I got some of his life. I've often sat in of that great preacher of our nation. And I don't think it's within my heart, but I often wonder, why couldn't I do it all? And then another man who was so much different in personality than Brother Jim Truitt was Lockett Adair, a great evangelist who was a Presbyterian. He surrendered under the ministry of old Sam Jones. And he preached to thousands and held cooperative meetings and won more than 9,000 people to Christ in his brief ministry. And I used to go down to Point, Texas, East Texas, and there in a room, so dark, you couldn't see. And this man was rough and tough. The man he could really preach to. I guess I was kind of like the preacher that needed some preaching to. Like the billy goat going through the field that had all the cuckoos. He helped pick the cuckoos. Boy, he skinned me from it. One day I asked him to pray for me. He said, I ain't going to pray for you. He said, you've just become a Baptist. Every time you go to the Lord in prayer, you just say, Lord, give me this and that. You don't ever thank God. But he meant what? When he died, I was in the state of Missouri. In a meeting, they called me to come preach his funeral. One of the greatest mistakes I ever made, that I didn't fly like it is. I've often sat in the presence of that rough, gracious man of God. And then they answer back, Dan, you're not, you can't say that about him. He paid the price. He stayed for the stuff. He had stood by the test. I want you to use your imagination even as it is a reality. When Elijah was going to heaven. Man, you talk about these spaceships going into outer space these days. Old Elijah would make those bunch of guys look like Model T Fords.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
And when he went, Elisha said, watch me. Pointing out to you two or three things. You'll notice the prophets of their belief came in the presence of Elisha. And they bowed down before Elisha, and they were not bound to Elisha, they were bound to the God. And they worshiped God. And they believed that Elijah had gone to glory. But there were other prophets in their blind unbelief that didn't believe it. And they came in the presence of Elisha, about 50 of them, the Bible said. And they told Elisha, we don't believe that Elijah's gone to heaven. He said, where do you think he's gone? Well, he's been hid up on some mountain or down in some valley. We don't believe he's gone. We're going to go look for him. You know, if God were to perform a great miracle tonight in this service, a lot of people wouldn't believe
him. That's right.
And old Elisha said, no, send not. You'll notice those two words. Chapter, send not. He's gone to glory. They said, no, we don't believe it. We're going to go look for him. And you know, finally, the patience of that Baptist preacher run out, brother. He said, all right, if you don't believe he's gone, go on and look for him. And I can see those strong 50 men get together, and they packed their belongings, and they went up on the mountain, and they looked and looked and looked until their tongues lolled out, and then they went back down to the valley, and they looked and looked, and look, and they couldn't find Elijah on the mountain or in the valley or in the valley or on the mountain. They couldn't find him anywhere. And then finally, they came back in the presence of Elisha. And they said, we have gone and looked everywhere, but we couldn't find Elijah. Then he said, did I tell you to send off? Elijah has gone to glory. He's gone to be a God. He's gone to heaven. You believe that? Say amen.
Amen. Amen.
I believe. And then they got mad at the preacher. They had preacher soup for breakfast, dinner, and supper. You know what they did? They called their children. These children came in the presence of Elisha and made mockery of him. Go up, thou bald head! Go up, thou bald head! And he turned around and he placed the curse of God upon them. And there were two she bears that came out of the woods and tore them with the Bible. It proves to me one thing. Innocent. You know what? Elisha, as well as Elijah, had power because he had power. You say, Brother Vestal, what about men like Hitler, Mussolini, and Stalin, and even men that live today that have power with people? Well, beloved, they have power with the devil. I want you to know a man of God has power with people because he has power with them. And men of the world that has power with people, he has power with the devil, and the devil is mighty. But remember this, God is almighty.
Amen.
Amen.
Things come and go, and we have a lot of fads. And every 5 years of my ministry, I see fads as they come and go. But God, the rule, he took the mantle of Elijah and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither for hiding. But you know, unheeding the scoffing society, unheeding the mocking, unheeding all of this,
What did Elisha do? He walked right on down the road and burned them. You have a ministry, beloved. You may not be able to preach like, you may not be able to sing like a singer. You may not be able to pray like some old saint of God. You may not be able to teach a Sunday school class like any of God. You may not have the ability or the gift to do something, but I want you to know you're important in the sight of God. And you do have a gift, and you do have a talent. You're dedicated talent and a gift unto the Lord God. And this is my prayer tonight. And I pray for the Lord, not for riches, glory, not ambition, not for the applause and the praise of man, but the praise and praise of your Lord, that a double of Christ. And I pray that prayer for everyone. I believe someone, this is your office, same invitation. Number 249, as we come to this great hymn, the pastor will be standing here to the altar. You come tonight, God will bless you. Stand together. I'd like for every man here tonight, I would just like you to join me here in this altar for a moment of prayer. Would you do that? Everyone here tonight, you know you're sick. I want you to join me here in this altar just for a moment of prayer. If you cannot kneel, you come here and stand. God will bless you. Just come right on. As these have come here to the altar of prayer, I'm wondering if there could be a one here tonight who would say to the vessel, there's a decision that I need to make for Christ within my life. There's a decision I need to make. And I want you to pray for me right now. Would you lift your hand? Anyone? Yes. Anyone else? Just lift your hand and say, pray for me. There's a decision I need to make. Our Father, we thank you for the scripture tonight, the great prophets Elijah. We thank you, Lord, for what they believed. We thank you for the God they serve. And we do thank you, Lord, tonight for the eternal God who is omnipotent, for Christ. Our Savior, the greatest person that's ever lived. We thank you, Lord, for this service. We thank you, Lord, for this place of gathering. We thank you, Lord, for these pastors. We thank you, Lord, for these men that have come here to this altar to pray. We thank you for every one in this building. And Lord, we pray that we might get all of sin and draw us out of our heart. And may we be filled with the Spirit of God. And may we have the wisdom and the knowledge to know how to use this. And our Father, right now, for those that lifted their hands for prayer, there's a need of decision in their life. May they come forward surrendering all, and may they give their life and their all. If there be a lost soul here tonight, may they be saved. God, give revival to this church, to our heart. Give revival to America. Lead us all to greater victory. Amen. And let's just remain right where we are just for a moment. I want Brother Jim to say it through one time. And I want the pastor to stand right here to the altar. Some of you lifted your hand for prayer. Some of you didn't, but you need to come tonight. Why don't you just get up from where you're kneeling and come here and say, Brother Kincaid, I want to surrender my all. I want to do this. Come right up. Anyone else? Brother Jim said, say, I want to surrender all to God. Anyone else? What about it tonight? Let God speak to your heart right now. May the Holy Spirit move upon your heart as you come. God will bless you. Oh, Lamb of God, I come now. I respond to God's invitation. Now let us all stand together and sing the last verse, everyone together. This is the hour of your decision tonight. What about it now?
God, I come.
So grateful you came tonight to be in prayer for these remains. Tomorrow night we'll be bringing a message from God's Word. You'll be here. God will give us a victory. Brother,
amen. Invite somebody to come with you tomorrow.